in the Comey book, the reviews of the Comey book, a lot of them talk about that infamous dinner that they had. Was it Valentine's night, Steve, that the president invites James Comey over for a one-on-one dinner? Comey took the dinner thinking that it was going to be a bunch of them. I mean, you know, several people, not 100, but not two. And then it's just the two of them. And he says that the the president, you know, marvels at everything, right? Look at this room. Isn't it beautiful? Look at this table. Look at this silverware. Comey writes that he doesn't think that the president knows what the word calligrapher means. He almost suggests that the president thought it might actually be something on the menu. But anyway, as he gazes across, I presume, a candle and looks into the president, he describes the orange hair and the white half moons under his eye, where he says, I presume that he wore little goggles while he was under a tanning lamp. I think I would notice that, too. You've noticed the white under the president's eyes. I don't know if that's a cream that he... Do y'all put a little cream under there to sort of wipe away the wrinkles and make your... it's like an optical illusion. Or maybe it's just where the goggles are and the rest of his face has been tanned. But that dinner scene in his description of the president has been written about a lot today, too.
So I haven't read the book, but I can still judge it. I mean, that's it sounds a little... below
well, but
what
it's
I would
a
expect.
Three. Okay, but you know, all I am capable of reviewing right now, Steve, are the reviews.
But you know what I mean? That's kind of a bitchy thing.
That's what I was thinking as you were saying that.
What do you mean?
Oh, look. Oh, and I'm presuming he wore a tanning mask. You know, that's like, I would hope for more from the former FBI director's book.
I know. I hear you on that. But it's got to be tempting not to say that too. I mean, you are ticked. You are tortured and you've been belittled. And now you get to write your story. And how do you not get a couple of digs in? How do you not make fun of the white face and the white eyes? The orange hair and the white eyes on his face. I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe you take the high road. In fact, we'll ask our guest what he thinks about that. Phil Rucker reviewed it for the Washington Post. He'll say hi after the news. This is John Williams. Thomas Jefferson turns a couple hundred and something. His birthday is today. TJ and I get along swell. We'll visit with him in the 2 o'clock hour, the bright side of life and things you might enjoy doing this weekend in the Chicago area. That's all coming up after the 2 o'clock edition of the news. It's 1:36 now. Appreciate you tuning in. So here's the Washington Post review. Here's the CNN headline, 11 most eye-popping lines in James Comey's A Higher Loyalty Ranked. That's what's become of CNN. That's how they do news now. New York Times has a review about it. They call it an absorbing new book and then write generally about it, though they don't say how much they love or hate it, but they do write about it extensively. And so, too, is there a long review of it in the Washington Post today. The reviewer, Philip Rucker, is the White House bureau chief for the Post. He reviewed A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership by James Comey. And Philip Rucker joins us now on WGN. Philip, it's John Williams. Welcome to WGN. How are you today?
Hey, John. Glad to be with you.
Wow. So when did you get your hands on the book?
Well, we were able to obtain an early copy at the Washington Post, and I spent some time this week reading it and writing a story, really a news account of what is in there. And there's a lot in there about Comey's relationship and various interactions with President Trump.
Yeah, I want to get through some of that, but could you just give me your general headline? Your review is, I think, pretty comprehensive in telling us what you learned, but I want to learn more about what did you think of the book? Is it well written? Does it seem credible? Is it important? Give me your personal sort of view of the book.
Yeah, well, it's well written. It's a quick read. It's engrossing for anybody who closely follows the Trump presidency, as I do, having reported on it from the beginning. I found it very interesting because Comey adds some new detail, a lot of observation, some dialogue to some of these key scenes that we knew about from the presidency. That loyalty dinner where the president sat down with Comey as the FBI director to ask for his personal loyalty, for a pledge of loyalty, and some of these other encounters. You asked, is it credible? All I know about that is that, you know, Comey over his career has been regarded by many in law enforcement as a fairly credible narrator, and his memoir is based, at least his encounters with Trump in the memoir, are based largely on the contemporaneous notes that he took at the time. He would write detailed memos after every phone call or meeting that he had with Trump.
So you believe what you've read?
I think so. I mean, the White House is calling Comey a liar in total, but they're not really saying specifically where they think Comey misstated the truth. So, you know, there's no challenge, as of now at least, to the facts that Comey lays out in his book. Maybe that will come later today when we hear from the White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
Sure. I can imagine how that's going to go.
Well, you probably can. But look, it seems to be a fairly credible account. And again, it's based on his contemporaneous notes.
And just one other question about that. So here's the president's review of the book. Comey lied to Congress under oath. He is weak and an untruthful slime ball who was, as time has proven, a terrible director. He says that he's not to be trusted. And he concludes his two-page tweet with, "It was my great honor to fire James Comey." I don't know that the president's read the book. I'm going to guess not. But he doesn't, you know, and I guess the point of all of that is, we heard that. I think the point of that is that, say what you want about the president's tactics, they do begin to take a toll. You do begin to question things that you would not otherwise. You do begin to wonder, gosh, is Comey telling the truth? Can I believe this book, or is this just an angry screed? And I think that's the backdrop against which we're all going to have to read this.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, look, the portrait that Comey paints of Trump is not going to sound any different than the Donald Trump that we knew in the campaign and as president. I mean, he's somebody who has a lot of past transgressions, and, you know, has been seen as unethical by many people, and that's what Comey portrays in the book. He describes Trump as a congenital liar, and in fact, you know, Donald Trump in his campaign and as president has repeatedly made false statements to the American people. So, you know, the portrait is in keeping. Now, whether every specific detail that Comey describes in his book is completely factually accurate, I don't know. I'm not the judge and jury. I didn't bear witness to the scenes that he's describing in the book. But the portrait overall seems to be in keeping with the general narrative of Donald Trump.
Philip, it's Steve Bertrand in the newsroom. So what Comey writes seems to have great credibility and could have great weight. You've read the book. I wonder if he diminishes his power or authority when he also puts in things. John was just reading passages about Comey apparently making fun of whether the president wore a tanning mask or things like that. You know, the White House is trying to portray him as a disgruntled former worker, and it seems as if maybe some of his observation or language might give that argument weight.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I read the whole book, and there are a couple of paragraphs in the book where he does take those personal shots at the president, like the line that you were just mentioning. It's up to the readers, I think, to determine whether they.
Well,
think
how much of the book is like that? I mean, is it an ongoing?
I said it's about a couple paragraphs.
Yeah,
I mean, the book is a serious book, and it's about his life and his time in public service and law enforcement, and his interactions with President Trump. And he has a couple of paragraphs where he, where he takes some shots at Trump personally. But that is not the substance of the book necessarily.
That is the substance of a lot of reviews, though, so you can see why we'd get that impression. You say this in your review: Comey stops short of outing a legal case against the president, explaining that because he does not know all the evidence, he cannot determine whether Trump intended to obstruct justice. Quote, "I have one perspective on the behavior I saw, which, while disturbing and violating basic norms of ethical leadership, may fall short of being illegal," he writes. So if you're looking for a smoking gun here, it sounds like you're telling us you didn't see it.
I did not. You know, there's not anybody who was thinking this book was going to lay out, you know, articles of impeachment and have all these new examples of attempted obstruction of justice by the president is going to be deeply disappointed. The book does detail examples of potential obstruction of justice. These are examples we already knew about from Comey's testimony on Capitol Hill, although he provides much more and rather vivid detail about it in the book. But the book is not meant to render a judgment about Trump. It's not meant to make a case for his impeachment. It's merely meant to offer the assessment of the former FBI director who served in the administration for those 5 or 6 months.
What does he say about the fact that he reopened the Clinton investigation days before the election?
It's interesting. He defends his decision to do that. And at one point he said, you know, maybe subconsciously he had the fact that Hillary Clinton was leading in the polls helped influence his decision, but that he did not consciously allow it to shape his decision. And he has one scene where he describes how someone else in the FBI asked him whether he'd asked that question. It's, do you worry that what you're about to do could elect Donald Trump president? And Comey said that he told her, no, we can't let that question impact our judgment.
Well, then why did he do it?
It would be bad for the country.
Why did 2 weeks before he say we now have to reopen the investigation on this new batch of email? Why did he make that public 2 weeks before the election?
Well, he decided he made it public because he thought if Hillary Clinton were to win the election, that And then if it were to come out after the fact that that the FBI had kept these emails quiet and kept them from the public, that it would somehow delegitimize her win, and it would cast a cloud not only over her presidency, but more importantly to Comey, it would cast a cloud over the FBI and make the FBI appear political and judgmental. And he felt because he personally had been so forthcoming in that July 5th press conference where he explained the status of that email investigation, that the fact that the investigation status changed in October, he owed it to the public to go forward with that and to announce what the FBI had discovered in that new trove of emails.
That makes it sound like he was protecting a Clinton win, right? So that it would seem legitimate. It sounds like he was banking on that Hillary was going to win, and I need to be public about this so that after she wins, they won't say you hid that. But by
I think that's stretching what he says in the book. He does not say that he was protecting her win. He was saying that one of the calculations he made was if she ended up winning the election, it would appear that the FBI had acted politically by keeping it under wraps.
Well, but does he think
he thought the best solution was to go public with what he knew and to be transparent with the people?
I get that. Philip Rucker's on the line, White House bureau chief for the Washington Post. At WAPO.com and elsewhere, he has reviewed A Higher Loyalty, the new Comey book. But does he think that he cost Hillary the election then? Donald Trump won because he announced that he was looking into Hillary? Does he own that a little bit?
Well, he says he doesn't believe he impacted the election, and he says he actually has an apology to Hillary Clinton in his book where he says, I'm sorry that you are personally blaming me for this, and I'm sorry that I couldn't have been more or that I wasn't more forthcoming in explaining to the American people and to your supporters why I did what I did, why he took those actions.
What does he say about the I don't know why I laugh, because maybe it's just absurd and dark, but the candlelight dinner that he had with the president on Valentine's night.
Well, he describes that night in detail, in really rich detail, actually, and says it was a one-on-one dinner. He did not expect it would be just the two of them, but it was, and he got there, and he sets the scene. They're in the green room of the White House. There's a four-course meal that's being served by the Navy stewards, and the president asks for his loyalty, and Comey was not prepared to give him his personal loyalty. He believes, as has been the tradition at the FBI for so long, that the FBI should be independent, that the FBI director is not loyal to the president of the United States. So there was a silence there, and Trump went on to talk about a number of other issues. He brought up the dossier allegations from the Moscow hotel room. He brought up the allegations of sexual assault against him levied by many women during the 2016 campaign. He brought up the campaign rally where he mocked a disabled reporter, Serge Kovaleski of the New York Times, and then returned to the issue of loyalty and really demanded Comey's loyalty. Comey wouldn't give it and said he would be loyal to the truth, and they sort of left it at that. But it was not a comfortable dinner for the FBI director, and I don't think the president was very comfortable with what Comey was pushing back on with the loyalty pledge.
The guy can turn a phrase. I love when he describes the president speaking as an oral jigsaw puzzle, where, as you just described, he'll stream of conscious skip between topics and rants and insults that he suffered, and you just sit there and take it. And he regrets a little bit some of the silence that he left the president with. Maybe he should have said a couple of things when the president was assuming or asking for loyalty. But you write this: when the meeting ended, not the dinner, but a different meeting, Comey stayed behind with Trump to discuss the salacious dossier. The day before, as Clapper and Comey briefed Obama about Russian interference, the president asked who planned to tell Trump about the Moscow prostitute allegations. Clapper replied that Comey would. Obama, quote, turned his head to his left and looked at me directly, Comey recalls. He raised and lowered both of his eyebrows with emphasis and then looked away. To my mind, his Groucho Marx eyebrow raise was both subtle humor and an expression of concern. It was almost as if he were saying, good luck with that. Well put, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you feel like you're in the room right there. And it's interesting, there are a couple moments in the book of Comey's interactions with Obama where Obama doesn't quite say it verbally, but Comey still comes away with a conclusion about Obama, almost sort of imagining what Obama would have said had he been more frank.
I got to let you go. Here's the last question for you, though, and it's the silliest of them all, really. But four times, you say, the president approached Comey about helping him, and he sure did seem to be transfixed with what we were going to think of the prostitutes in the bed thing. Do we come to any conclusion or resolution about did that happen? Do you or does Comey believe that story?
You know, Comey doesn't say in the book whether he believes it or not. And in fact, he was asked by George Stephanopoulos of ABC News in an interview excerpt that aired this morning that he doesn't know whether it's true or not. All he knows is that there's this intelligence dossier that he said was widely circulated and, you know, thought it was appropriate to make sure that the president-elect at the time, Donald Trump, knew about it.
It's nice to hear you. It's good to read you, and your review is really, really well done. If you don't get a chance to read the book, read in the WashingtonPost.com Philip Rucker's review of the new Comey book. It's out on Tuesday. Thanks for your time today, Philip. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.